And I'm going to share with you a topic that is not very popular to talk about and not easy to actually perform at times, but necessary. You might remember our Savior said to us that he who does not take up his staros, his cross, his stake, and follow me is not worthy of me. He who loves his life in this age will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. And we have a calling here on our life. I don't know if we realize that, but we have a calling. We have a calling to do a lot of things, a calling to share the word of Yahweh with those who are in need of salvation. But we have a calling in other areas that are, not very attractive sounding, but necessary. And that calling is to suffer and to be long-suffering. To suffer and to be long-suffering is actually a calling mentioned in Scripture. In 2 Peter 2:20 says, "When you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before Elohim, for to this you were called." To what? To suffer and take it patiently. To this you were called. It's like a calling on our life or something is how it's being described here. Because Messiah also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. And this is the part of our faith in Messiah that is kind of not really mentioned very much. But, it's part of the word here. It's not very pleasing to the flesh, the thought of suffering, yet the scriptures are full of admonitions for us to have a willingness to do so. Now, suffering is not just a concept regarding the need for us to be willing to die for our faith. It is a principle that guides our everyday life. Even Paul said in one place, "I die daily." It is the crucified life or the life of impalement of the flesh. But it's the fear of suffering often causes us to walk in the works of the flesh. And by that, tear down another person or even the body of the Messiah rather than building up the body of Messiah. For instance, if someone says a hurtful word to us, the fleshly tendency is to get angry or bitter at the person. But if we already had a willingness to suffer and to bear the marks of others, as Yahshua was willing to suffer and bear the marks of others, remember, it's Yahshua who lives in us, right? It would not bother us so much because we already have the mindset that this is one of our callings in this life, is to be willing to suffer. And the same way Yahshua suffered in order to show his love for us and loved us in return, and that resulted in our choice to want to love him in return, we are called to have that willingness to suffer at the hands of another person so that others might see the suffering of the Messiah and his patience dwelling in us as we are called to manifest his life as the body of the Messiah on the earth today, and we are called to exhibit his life through our actions. Now, not just in regards to willing to bear the marks of others, we also have a willingness to encounter difficulties and persecutions and tribulations and trials, which can be hurtful. Most of us, before we die, we go through a series of sicknesses or something we suffer prior to our death. And so if we were to be approached with the opportunity to die for the Messiah, hey, might as well die for a good reason, right? Well, if we take that same mentality into sicknesses and diseases that we may suffer, and we say, maybe there's a spiritual root behind this. Maybe there's some bitterness I don't really see in my own heart, but it's there. Maybe there's somebody I need to ask forgiveness for before we exit the earth and enter into glory. You know, that could be part of Yahweh's plan too. And I think that perhaps, you know, those of us, you know, toward the end of a normal human lifespan, we go through diseases or sicknesses or whatever, as either Yahweh has just allowed us to have that and we've done nothing wrong, or maybe a consequence of something we have done wrong, and an opportunity for us to get that cleaned up, that we might be that purified bride. So we need to always look at suffering as an opportunity to A, either get cleaned up in something, or B, manifest the life of Yahshua, being willing to suffer. It's a major problem when the body Messiah does not have that willingness to suffer like Yahshua did. It's a major problem. It's one thing, you know, for us to communicate, oh, Yahshua died for our sins and loved us even when we didn't love him. But, you know, when we talk about what Yahshua did, we got to be willing to do it ourselves. He who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as he walked, 1 John 2:6. If those who are outside the body of Messiah see us walking in carnal and fleshly anger because we're refusing to lay down our lives and suffer like Yahshua did, they're going to see us as no better than themselves. When the body of Messiah is not acting like the Messiah, then where is the Messiah being manifested? Who's going to preach? Preach with your life. One place, an old saying is, preach everywhere. And when necessary, use words. See, if we're going to manifest the Messiah's life, we're going to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. We need to do more than just tell people about Yahshua and what he was like. We have the opportunity to live like he did in every aspect. Not just keeping Torah and these things that we all hold as being important, but by being willing to suffer like he suffered. And it seems that, you know, a lot of times anger is most justified when somebody's hurt us, but that's when it's least justified. Yahshua was hurt many times, but did not rise up in selfish anger. And so what are the scriptural principles that we should consider when it comes to this? Let's take a look at the context here of the verse I just quoted in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward Elohim one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it when you're beaten for your faults and you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before Elohim. He's actually talking about a person who would be a slave and a harsh and cruel, certainly unbelieving, slave owner is mistreating them. He's called them to make it to consider an opportunity, because they could not escape, to consider an opportunity to manifest the life of Yahshua. Now, that's what our calling is. For to what? He said, to what? You do good and you suffer, you take it patiently. You do good and suffer. To this you were called, because Messiah also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, I want to qualify this by saying the following, and I want you to listen very closely. If you are a wife, or if you are a child or a youth who is being beaten mercilessly by somebody in your family, your father beating you, or your husband is beating you, I'm not saying stay in the situation and just take it. Okay? This is talking about slavery here. When there was no other recourse, when there was no other option, which they slaves had no option. If they tried to escape, they'd be taken back in the Roman world. Okay? Not talking about in Israel. The way Yahweh wanted Israel to treat their slaves was to love them, not beat them. But that's a whole other subject. But in fact, in ancient, there was principles that if a slave was being mistreated, he had the freedom to leave. In the Roman world, that was not the case. Okay? So if you have an abusive husband who is physically causing wounds on your flesh, who is beating you mercilessly, who is abusing you, I'm not saying that you have to remain in a situation. I do believe in some cases, it's either going to be, let's call this man to accountability if he's called to be a believer and let people know what he's doing, or if necessary, call law enforcement. And you can still love the man while he's sitting in jail. Or in the case of parents beating their children mercilessly in an abusive manner, I do believe the body of Messiah needs to hold them accountable. But what I'm pointing out here is, we are called, as Scripture says, if there's no recourse, if there's no way to escape. Even Yahshua says, if they persecute you in one city, yeah, flee to another. It's okay to flee. But if there's no other recourse, then manifest the life of Yahshua. Manifest his life. That was Peter's advice to slaves. I don't think we have situations like this today. But, well, there is. It's human trafficking is starting to get terribly ridiculous. But we have the opportunity, and this is what I'm pointing out is, if even in this situation, Peter is saying, to this you're called, it's okay. Follow the steps of Messiah. If you have no recourse, then take it patiently. That's commendable before Elohim. If even in a situation like this, he is calling people to take it patiently, how much more so if someone just says something that you didn't like, or says something that kind of hurt your feelings a little, or did something that offended you? I mean, that's minor, right? I mean, that's little stuff. But Yahshua left us an example, a righteous principle, and a blessed way of looking at life. When we are wronged and we are hurt, what's our response supposed to be? We only need to look to Yahshua to find the answer. Take it patiently. When men smite us with their words, what did he say? When he was reviled, did not revile in return. He committed himself to Yahweh who judges righteously. We should never engage in an evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Romans 12:17 says, repay no one for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. 1 Peter 3:9. says similar things. So we are called to this, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. 1 Peter 3:9. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. We are called to this. And it's okay that we can bear the marks of others who may be hurting us. So we don't repay evil for evil. We don't repay reviling for reviling. No, we walk like Yahshua walked. When we're willing and we take it patiently. I mean, what was it that caused us to turn our hearts to Yahweh? Was it not the perfect one? Yahshua, who loved Yahweh and loved his fellow man unwaveringly. When he received evil treatment, he took it all in patient, loving silence. Again, there are times we should take steps to escape ongoing chronic abuse. But sometimes all we have to do to escape from that is to cease from anger, bless instead of curse, and take it all in patient, loving silence. One key thing that separated Yahshua from most people of his day was his willingness to suffer. That was one of the key areas. His willingness to die. And we are called to put on Yahshua the Messiah. We take on his attributes. And what did he teach us? I say to you, Matthew 5:44, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Think about that for a moment. A lot of times the problems between even a husband-wife relationship is an unwillingness of the one person to love the person who's not being loving. Yahshua says, well, you're no better than the heathen. So often the husband will say, well, my wife does not respect me. How can I love her? And the wife will say, well, how can I respect my husband? He's not loving me. And around and around and around it goes until someone decides they're going to be just as our Father in heaven and take it patiently when the wounds come, to be long-suffering, to suffer rather than choose anger, to know, as Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools, Scripture says. We don't want to be fools. We can instead say, all right, I'll bear that. I'll bear it. What they said to me hurt. What they did to me hurt. But I'll bear it. I know Yahshua can bear it through me. I'm willing to bear the wrongs of others, even as he did. Because it's no longer I who live. I have been crucified with Messiah. It is no longer I who live. It's Messiah who lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of Elohim, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm already crucified. I can bear it. I'm already crucified. Messiah lives in me now. And the life which I now live by in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of Elohim, I'll bear it. I'll bear it. Can we grasp that, my brothers and sisters? Can we grasp it? When the people hurt you at work, when your parents or your relatives smite you with their words, when your brothers and sisters are mistreating you, can you choose Messiah? Can you choose Yahushua HaMashiach? Can you? Will you? Are you willing to? He is our treasure that dwells within us, that enables us to bear all things. As Scripture says, love bears all things. 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of Elohim and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Master Yahushua, that the life of Yahushua also may be manifested in our body. That's our calling. When someone hurts us with their words, there are times when saying nothing will speak volumes. When a person hurts us and we do not hurt them in return, our silence can be deafening. Because now they have hurt us, and we have not hurt them in return, it brings attention to what their sin is. Whereas if you hurt them right back, they'd forget all about that. Oh, he hurt me now. Oh, she hurt me now. See, a wrong was committed, but no wrong was returned. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. I just hurt that person. That alone sometimes is enough to bring conviction to the one doing the wrong. Even if they don't act like it, even if they don't acknowledge it, even if they don't say a word about it, they realize they did something wrong, Yahweh can use it as an opportunity to scream into their conscience, do not treat that person that way. I tell you what, he can scream a whole lot better than you can. He can reach the heart. And so Yahushua came and suffered for us, even though our lives were full of sin, hurting him daily, sometimes hourly. And wasn't it Yahushua's love and the realization of our indebtedness to him that compelled us to repent and to love him in return? And so as the body of Messiah, one of our trademarks ought to be that we all have a willingness to suffer as Yahushua did if we are wronged by others, especially if we're wronged by one another. I'm reminded of there was an Amish school years ago in Pennsylvania. Some guy walked in there unexplained, no reason. Went in there and just shot a bunch of kids. No reason. And when the news outlets all came to the Amish folks and their parents, what's going on? How do you feel about this? The word got out that they had already forgiven the man. I thought, you know, that's it. I mean, that's hard, but that's Yahushua, who forgave us when we did wrong, right? And offered us a glimpse into what love truly is. Loving those who don't love you. Praying for those who don't treat you properly. And so, in chapter 3, verse 8, 1 Peter. He says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. I like this. This is a really nice verse. Have compassion on one another. Love like brothers are supposed to love. Have a tender heart. Be courteous. Be nice to each other. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. So, someone does you evil, you give them a blessing. What? Knowing you were called to what? To this. You weren't just called to keep the Sabbath. You weren't just called to keep the other commandments that we make us different than mainstream Christianity. Brothers and sisters, we got to be the whole package. This right here is just as much manifesting Yahshua's walk and walking as he walked as keeping clean food laws or any other thing that we might think is important. Do we have that willingness to put this into practice and to live it? Yahshua said, unless you take up your staros and follow after me, you're not worthy of me. You've got to take up the staros, the crucifix, the whatever it was he died on. We have to die. We'd be crucified with him or die with him. That we may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of Yahweh are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of Yahweh is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? No one can ultimately harm you. Oh, they can hurt your flesh. They can't touch your soul. Turn away from evil and do good. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats. You get that? Don't be afraid of what people say they're going to do to you. Don't even be troubled by it. But sanctify Yahweh Elohim in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's in you with meekness and with a fear toward Elohim, not a fear toward man. And so this is the kind of lifestyle that we are called to live. This is our lifestyle. This is the way we live our life on a daily basis. Are we manifesting these attributes of the Messiah toward our brothers and sisters in the faith? Are we manifesting these attributes of Yahshua the Messiah toward our spouses? Are we manifesting these attributes of Yahshua the Messiah toward our own children? If they hurt you personally, do you take it personal and take it out on them in anger? Or is your end goal that they would be trained? It doesn't say train up a child in the way he should go, right? It doesn't say beat up a child in the way he should go. But train up a child in the way they should go. That means you're not involving your own bitternesses and your own anger in that training. You're trying to guide them into a right way of living. So we are called to go, therefore, and make disciples and exhibit the characteristics of a servant who's willing to suffer, just as Yahshua was. It is this attribute that will often compel them to ask us, what is this hope that you have? Even when you're suffering in trials and tribulations, and we still glorify and justify Yahweh in our trials and our tribulations and our difficulties, and we tell people, oh, how wonderful Yahshua is, they're going to look at you and go, what is this hope you have? It seems awful real. Because the world doesn't have a hope like that. When they wrong each other, they feel they must even the score. Because they're only mindful of the things in this age. This world is all they have hope in, and so they believe they must make sure they do not suffer in this short period of time that they're here. But we, who are looking toward the heavenlies, who have our minds set on things above, not on things on the earth, we say, we're willing to bear the marks of others. The world's not willing to, and that's one reason why certain men will go around trying to look like a tough guy, intimidating and scary. And, you know, they used to have this little thing in the back of their truck window that says, no fear. In other words, you're not going to scare me. But why you got that thing in your window? Because you're scared. You don't want people to mess with you. The message is, don't mess with me. I'll make sure you're the one who suffers if you do. So they work out and they learn karate or whatever they learned how to do to try to make sure they don't be the one to suffer. The scowl on their face and the sunglasses they wear. Big intimidating looking trucks and trying to scare everybody. Anything to try to avoid suffering. And that's why people try to act like tough guys. And you know, some guys are tough guys. Okay. They don't have to act that way. But my point is, we're supposed to be harmless as doves. Innocent lambs who are wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Scripture says that wisdom is better than weapons of war. We don't intimidate others into not hurting us. We don't lash out. We share the wisdom of Yahweh. We don't lash out in return of one's reviling and revile them back. And when you do that, when you don't lash out and instead you love and you bless and you build up, people are going to go, that is bizarre. I mean, why is he doing this? Where is this person placing his hope? Why does he act this way? Is there really something beyond this age? And you tell them, I'm blessing you. Because I also have hurt others. I also have hurt my Savior. And yet he died for me. He suffered for me. And so I feel like I need to do the same for others. And not hurt back. There's enough hurt in this world as it is. And watch their jaw hit the floor. When we don't hurt others, those who accuse us of evil will then be ashamed. It'll be evident by our conduct that's not the kind of person we are. When we only love in return, that's what Yahshua did. And that's what he wants to do in us. Yahshua was long-suffering. 1 Peter 3:14, I believe it is, says, or 2 Peter 3:14, I think it is, says, the long-suffering of our Master's salvation. You know what the word long-suffering is? What it really means? It means to suffer long. It doesn't really even mean that. What it really means is this. Long nostril or nose. The children today said, "What's your message on today, Dad?" I said, "About having a long nostril, having a long nose." Now, the word "off" in Hebrew is translated nostril or nose. It's also translated anger, because what happens when you get angry? You see the little nostrils flaring out, you know. And so in the very picturesque language that it is, it means you're going to be a long time before you get angry. It's going to take a lot to make anger come out of you. That's the meaning behind it. And when you're long-suffering like Yahshua was, and you choose to have the good conscience, not returning evil for evil, it says that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Messiah will be ashamed. See, it'll prick their conscience. It'll cause them to go, you know, all this bad stuff I did to them, and then they don't do it back. That kind of shows them to be the better person than I am. For it is better, if it is the will of Elohim, if it is the will of Elohim, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Messiah also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to Elohim, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Yahshua's death in the flesh and his living nature in us by the spirit of Elohim will be manifested when we choose to be slow to anger. So there's two words, actually, arek, off. Arek is long. Off is anger or nostril or nose. The actual word in the Hebrew is arek apayim. It's actually even translated slow to anger in various places, talking about Yahweh being slow to anger in Psalm 103:8 and Nehemiah 9:17. Other translations will have patient or slow to anger, wherever we see these words. But Yahweh himself is very slow to anger and willing to forgive when wronged. Now, some suppose that Yahweh was quick to be angry in the Old Testament. Now Messiah came, you know, now he's sort of more easygoing. And some even people think, oh, he's like Grandpa now. He's kind of calmed down and everything's okay. He'll put up with stuff. He's always been the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, shortly after giving the Ten Commandments, the children of Israel are worshiping a golden calf. Think about that. He brought them through the Sea of Reeds. All this stuff he did for them, saved them, a clear violation of his commandment. They're immediately worshiping golden calves. But after this event, Yahweh says something about himself that's very important for us to see and to emulate. Exodus 3, verse 34, verses 1 through 2, it says, Yahweh said to Moshe, "Cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. So be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai, and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain." And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herds feed before that mountain. So he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Then Moshe rose early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai, as Yahweh had commanded him, and he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Now Yahweh descended in the cloud and stood with him there. And look at this, what happens here. And proclaimed the name of Yahweh. The name of Yahweh. Would you like to proclaim the name of Yahweh? What is Yahweh all about? And Yahweh passed before him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh Elohim, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. That's his name. And so we who bear his name, we who proclaim his name, we need to be merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness, abounding in truth. That's what he's all about. Now, he says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty. He's not saying, oh, he'll forgive everybody, anybody, anyhow, and it doesn't matter what you do, you can do live how you want. It's not what he's saying. Because he will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. That is of those who hate him, it says in Exodus 20, of those who hate him. So ultimately, there will be judgment on a final day, and on the children who repeat the sins of their parents, the sins of their parents and the iniquity of their parents will be upon them, because they are showing, yeah, I'm just like my dad. I want to be able to live like he did, instead of being just like our Father in heaven and living as he calls us to be. So think about that. Being long-suffering, being slow to anger, being merciful, being gracious, all these things are a part of who he is. And so we who bear his name especially should be associated with those attributes, because that's the attributes he wanted his name to be associated with. Is it true of us? There are some people out there who are using the name of the Most High, and they're not merciful. They're not long-suffering. Even in their witnessing, they are unloving, unmerciful. But we see, you know, in spite of repeated demonstrations of rebellion by the children of Israel, Yahweh still forgave again and again and again. And it was not until the children of Israel started to stone Moshe and appoint a captain to bring them back to Egypt, he decided, I can't bring this generation into the promised land. They'll defile it as soon as they get there. So when Yahweh threatened to destroy them, Moshe, he interceded for Israel and said, Yahweh, the promises, your character, your name, Yahweh. He told them, Moshe told Yahweh, he said, now if you kill these people as one man, the nations which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, oh, because Yahweh was not able to bring this people to the land which he swore to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. And now, I pray, let the power of my master be great, just as you've spoken, saying, ah, his name, Yahweh is long-suffering, abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. He by no means clears the guilty, visiting iniquity of the fathers of the third and fourth generation, the children of the third and fourth generation. So he is recalling to Yahweh his name and who he's about. He says, oh, they'll know it. They'll know that you're merciful, like you said, and long-suffering, Let that be what your name is associated with, as you said. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy. Just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And then Yahweh says, I have pardoned according to your word. But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of Yahweh. You know who the glory of Yahweh is? It's Yahshua, the brightness of his glory. And so Moshe appeals to the power of the living Elohim, which is what would be needed to forgive. Notice also Moshe brought Yahweh's words into remembrance in his name. And so we as a people who call upon the name of Yahweh need to carry with us the characteristics of it. We who bear his name are called to be long-suffering as he is long-suffering. And it was not until the children of Israel were determined to kill their leaders and go back to Egypt, he finally forbade them from entering the land. But Moshe was a remarkable intercessor, a man of great understanding. You know, you can intercede like that for your children who have lost their way, for relatives who have lost their way. Yahweh no longer trusted the children of Israel to fill the land with a promise with righteousness, with his glory, but he did forgive them. He just would not let them enter the land. So even in the Torah, even in the law, there are wonderful examples of Yahweh's mercy and his long-suffering. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Yahshua said, Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law. Justice. Oh, what's this word over here? Mercy. And faith. These you ought to have done. What are these? These would be paying tithe of mint and anise and cumin, but without leaving the others. What are the others? Justice, mercy, and faith. Without leaving the others undone. In other words, give attention to the weightier matters, number one, but don't neglect the finer points either. But look at that. One of the weightier matters of the law is actually mercy. It really is. Don't let the modern anti-Old Testament preachers tell you otherwise. Jeremiah delighted in Yahweh's word and called upon the long-suffering of Yahweh in the midst of persecution. He said in Jeremiah 15:15, O Yahweh, you know, remember me and visit me and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your enduring patience, do not take me away. Know that for your sake I've suffered rebuke. Your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Yahweh, Elohim of hosts. He declared it was for Yahweh's sake he was rebuked. Sometimes we as his people will be rebuked wrongly by family members or friends or the world for doing things that Yahweh tells us to do. Jeremiah had that as well. I'm sure many of us have also been rebuked for keeping the commandments and proclaiming his truth, even by close family members at times. But to this we are called. Expect it. It's a part of the walk. It's a part of what we need to do. It's an opportunity for you to manifest the life of Yahshua in your mortal flesh. Yahshua said, blessed are you when men hate you. Does it feel like a blessing when people hate you? It may not feel like it in natural man. But if you can keep your eyes on Messiah, look how blessed he was. Blessed are you. And when they exclude you, they don't include you in what they're doing. They don't act like you're a part of them. Blessed are you. And they revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake, because you follow Yahshua. Oh, now, if they're doing all these things, and it's not because you're following Yahshua, because you're not a very nice person, but because you've been walking in the flesh, you've got no reward there. But if you have been walking in the Spirit, and they revile you, and they exclude you, and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake, you're blessed. You're blessed when they hate you. In fact, he says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. You ever see anybody do that? Someone mock them because of their faith, and they go, woohoo, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Jumping in the air and I'm so blessed. Can't say I've ever seen anybody do that. Chuck one up for me. The age to come. And the guy's going to look at you and go, are you crazy? Why are you leaping for joy when I just cut you up one side, down the other? Because the Bible tells me, blessed am I when people hate me because of the Son of Man. And they exclude me and they revile me and they cast my name as evil. And I'm to rejoice and leap for joy because I have a great reward in heaven. Same thing happened to the prophets, you know. So if you're going to be suffering, then suffer for righteousness' sake. Don't suffer because you've been walking in the flesh. If you're going to suffer, you might as well suffer for good things. Right? I mean, we're all going to suffer. Might as well suffer because you're doing something good. I mean, even the wicked suffer. Hey, might as well suffer for doing something right rather than suffer for doing something wrong. Only when we suffer for doing righteousness are we commendable before Elohim. So now other times we are rightly rebuked, and we should be quick to hear it if that's the case. Proverbs 17 verse 10 says, rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. So if we're wise, we'll hear the rebuke and we won't need 100 stripes. We won't need a chastening of Elohim. We hear the rebuke, we hear the reproof. Sometimes we're without chastening because we're so quick to hear a rebuke. Not just because we're sons, but because we're quick to hear rebuke and reproof from Yahweh. And so, hey, take it. Take the reproof. Take the rebuke. It's okay if it's true. As long as the reproof has proof and the correction's correct, if it makes you closer to the walk of Messiah, hallelujah. Now, if you're going to offer reproof to somebody, Scripture says, Galatians 6, 1, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. You know, brother, hey, we all got overcoming to do. And I'm still a work in progress myself, but I happened to notice this the other day. I thought you would be the kind of person who might hear what I had to say on this, and that is, I saw this, I saw that happen, and I, from what I can tell, it look like you shouldn't be doing this and that and the other end. And maybe the person will say, well, I think you misunderstood, because actually what happened was this over here. And the whole problem is solved. Or he may say, oh, you know what? That's right. I think I do need to work on that. Hallelujah. What happened? Humility and gentleness manifested the fruit of a man turning from something he should not be doing. If you don't come to him in that spirit, and you come to him in the arrogant spirit, you don't consider yourself lest you also be tempted. Because Yahweh, if you come to him, this man with an arrogant attitude and a prideful spirit, and you try to correct them, then you might be tempted yourself. So Yahshua said, in the same manner that we judge, we'll be judged, right? Yahweh in heaven might be going, oh, you think you're so great because you're not doing that man's sin. I'll let the enemy do what he's going to do and see how well you do in the same situation. One thing I've learned, brothers and sisters, is this. You know what? If someone's doing something they shouldn't do, I didn't live their life. I didn't experience the things they experienced. I didn't have the upbringing they had. I didn't have the parents they had. And I cannot say for sure that if I did, I would be any better than they are in this particular area they're having trouble with, no matter what it might be. So we cannot go there with an arrogant spirit. So, we are a people who are pursuing righteousness. If we are told by someone that they noticed something was wrong, we need to be attentive to what they're saying and be wise men and be willing to hear rebuke, even if it's not given in the right spirit. Because we are a repentant people. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering? Not knowing the goodness of Elohim leads you to repentance. If you learn about the long-suffering of the Messiah and his forbearance and his goodness, and that does not lead you to repentance, Scripture says you're actually despising it. You're despising all the long-suffering he did. You hate it. Because his goodness should lead us to a state of repentance, and if we've not repented, then we are despising his mercies and goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. So his goodness should lead us to repentance. And I say repentance, I mean if you're not being long-suffering like he is, if you're lacking mercy, the mercy of Elohim, be careful. Because you're not really walking out repentance. You're not walking out righteousness. And with the same judgment that you judge others, you could be in the same position. So Yahshua says, judge not that you be not judged. With what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Some of the most miserable people on the earth, some of the most unhappy people on the earth, are those who are always judging others. Because they get all kind of judgment on themselves. Yahweh sees to it. And it's all measured right back. And they're not happy. And the more unhappy they are, the more judgmental they get. And the more judgmental they get, the more unhappy they are. And it's a vicious, vicious cycle. And they can't seem to get free. Because they're not willing to let Yahshua's life flow through them. And they choose anger. And the slightest speck in another person's eye, they're quick to point it out. Yahshua says, why do you even look at the speck in your brother's eye? Don't consider the 2x4 in your eye, the plank, right? Why are you even looking at it? Why do you even look when you got this gigantic railroad beam in your eye? Hypocrite. He says, how can you say to your brother, here, let me remove the speck out of your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Many times a person comes down very hard on others for committing a certain transgression, and later that person falls in the same transgression, or they're already doing that same transgression, and that's why they can see it so clearly in other persons. And sometimes those who are doing these particular transgressions and are blind to their own failures in this area are quick to accuse another person of having done it, even when they're not doing it. But they think they're doing it because that's what they've been doing. And they assume it's what they're doing, when really the other person's not doing it at all. So let's not fall into this snare. That's the alternative to bearing the life of Yahshua, is to fall into these snares and pits and traps. We should fear Yahweh, walk in meekness, remember the need for justice, mercy, and faith, the weightier matters of the law. If we see our brother or even our own children in any manner of sin, remember the long-suffering Yahweh has with us, and know also Yahweh is long-suffering with them. Therefore, let's be long-suffering with them. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, I charge you before Elohim and the Master Yahshua Messiah, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Boldly teach, but do it with a long suffering attitude. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. There it is. Long suffering. Because that's how Yahweh is. That's what He does. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against us there's no law. This is how Yahweh is with us. And those who are Messiahs have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, all right, then walk in it. Our long suffering is evidence of Yahweh living in us, His name being on our foreheads, us being sealed with the Spirit. It's all one and the same. And so hatred and strife and arguments and anger are examples of where long-suffering is lacking. Proverbs 19:11 says, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. It is his glory to overlook a transgression. Proverbs 15, verse 18, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. Proverbs 16, verse 32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Wow. Takes a lot of strength, doesn't it? Hebrew word for mighty in this verse is the same word describing the giants of Genesis 10, the Nephilim. The mighty men of Joshua's army. But the mighty men in David himself actually was called a mighty man. A wise man is strong, Proverbs 24, verse 5. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and a multitude of counselors there's safety. By wise counsel, not by the flesh, by wise counsel, by wisdom you will wage your war. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit, Proverbs 25:28, is a city broken down without walls. The enemy just comes in and does whatever he wills. You have no walls. You have no rule over your own personal city, your dwelling place. But the name of Yahweh is a strong tower. Proverbs 18:10. The righteous run to it and are safe. Difficult times, run to the strong tower of Yahweh's name. 1 Peter 2:21. To this you were called. That is our calling. Remember that. For Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Master, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The goal is to keep the unity of the Spirit. It's going to take long-suffering. It's going to take gentleness. It's going to take lowliness and bearing with one another in love. That's what it's going to take. Not many will take up these matters. Scripture takes them up, and we need to take up our staros and follow him, to seek and walk in righteousness, to walk as Yahshua walked. This walk is more than head knowledge, brothers and sisters. Every minute of every day, we must die. And I speak to you as one who has plenty of overcoming to do myself. Plenty of dying to do. We need to understand the knowledge of righteousness alone is not going to cut it. Just because you know something doesn't mean you're something special. It's because you know you got to do. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It's because you know. I mean, that just makes you more responsible. That just means, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. The fact that you know doesn't give you a higher standing than anybody else. It gives you a higher degree of responsibility. It doesn't make you any better. Colossians 3:12, therefore, as the elect of Elohim, holy and beloved, put on the Master Yahshua, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and what? Long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Messiah forgave you, so you must also do. You have to. You do it too, like he did. That's the spirit-filled life, brothers and sisters. No matter how evil the other person is, whether it be a total stranger, a friend, a family member, our own spouses, our children, whoever, we must be willing to suffer and get off our high horse and realize we haven't treated Yahweh any better than they're treating us. And yet he forgives us. And the very thing that we so freely expect to receive, we're not even willing to give. If we're not willing to be long-suffering. See, bitterness and unforgiveness is really rooted in pride. You're assuming you have the rights to something that you don't necessarily have the right to. When another person does the wrong thing and we get angry about it, we're in essence saying, well, if I was that person, I wouldn't be acting that way. But if you really live their life and lived the things they did, experienced the things that they did, and went through the same things they went through, are you really so sure you wouldn't be doing the same things they're doing? Really? Are you really so sure that's the case? We need to be humble, brothers and sisters. We need to be clothed with humility. So many times, maybe even every time, our anger is rooted in selfish pride. We think we deserve something better than what they're getting. Than what we're getting, I should say. Are we really just so righteous we don't deserve to ever suffer? Excuse me, but the most loving, righteous man who ever lived came on this earth 2,000 years ago, and they hung him on a tree. Oh, Yahshua, Yahweh may, you know, allowed him to be killed and tortured, but us, of course, he wouldn't want us to be unhappy or have to suffer, right? You see how we think we deserve things? I tell you what right now, the only thing I deserve is hell. That's it. That's all I deserve is hell. I don't deserve anything else but the lake of fire. Yahweh's given me what I don't deserve. Compassion, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, goodness. Inspires me to want to be like that toward others. Yahweh's number one chief concern is not your own personal happiness right now. Really. His chief concern is that you would walk in his image. You would step down off your little throne and realize we only deserve weeping and gnashing of teeth. We need to put on Yahshua, put him on the throne, and exhibit his life to everyone we meet. So you're feeling a little angry inside about something, you know. Ask yourselves, do I think I deserve something better than this? Do I think I have the right to something I don't have the right to? When we ask ourselves that, we may realize really it's just our own pride driving our anger. And many times, you know, we look at the former life we had and realize the sinner that we were. Well, you know what? Other people are sinners too, just like you were. They were, you know, you were once a slave in Egypt, right? So treat the stranger with love, how you would have wanted to be treated while you were a slave in Egypt. They're susceptible to the same passions and fleshly things we are. Let's humble ourselves and remember the pit from which he dug us out. And why did Yahweh even care to call us out, to cleanse us and purify us and give us the honor of being called his sons and daughters? When you think of those things, you just wonder, why would Yahweh choose someone like me? Paul figured it out, why he was chosen. 1 Timothy 1:14. And the grace of our Master was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Messiah Yahshua. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Messiah Yahshua came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He saved him. Why? I mean, look. Saul is there in Acts chapter 7, verse 57 through 59, before he was a believer. So they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at Stephen with one accord. They cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on Elohim and saying, Master Yahshua, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Master, do not charge them with this sin. When he said this, he fell asleep. Who was there? Saul. Do not charge them with this sin. And so Stephen, while he's being stoned to death, he's saying, do not charge them with this sin. Can you say that about someone who's hurting you? Do not charge them with this sin. Could it be that Yahweh honored that prayer Stephen was speaking, and that prayer prompted Yahweh to be willing to forgive Paul, which ended up being a powerful witness to Gentiles? Could it be our mercy and forgiveness toward others causes Yahweh to bring others that we come in contact with to a place of repentance and faith in Yahshua? Isn't that our ultimate goal? Yahshua chose Paul to be a light to the Gentiles, and he said this in the following verse. He said, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Yahshua might show all long-suffering. As a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. The Gentiles were a people with a lot of sin in their life. And Paul's experience would be a testimony to Yahweh's awesome long-suffering and mercy. And Paul's life and conversion was a demonstration that Yahweh can save even the worst of sinners. And if Paul could be cleansed of that terrible thing where he killed one of the believers in Messiah Yahshua, and Yahweh is willing to save him, the Gentiles, who were terribly lost in sin, could look to Paul and say, you know what, if that guy can get grace, maybe there's hope for me. And there's hope for you. And there's hope for all of us. Are we willing to be a Stephen when we're being hurt? Are we willing to be a Yahshua who said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing? It was that kind of long-suffering, long-suffering of our Master, that became our salvation. Can we not see his example and be that way toward others? It becomes much easier, you know, to be long-suffering toward another person when you sit and think about all the mercy you're going to need on Judgment Day. Think of the person right now with whom you have the greatest difficulty extending long-suffering to. Think about who they are. Think about what they've done to you. Maybe there's somebody in your own life, and when you think about them, you just get this high-octane. All right. Now think of your own life. Consider what kind of mercy and long-suffering you're going to need on that day of judgment. Doesn't it kind of get a little easier when you think about your own helpless state without the great mercy and compassion and long-suffering of our Master Yahshua? Doesn't that compel you to want to be merciful and long-suffering and just let it go? And ask Yahweh to not charge them with this sin, to forgive. You're right. Some people will take advantage of that. Yahweh knows how that is. Scripture says, let grace be shown to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness. Some people just won't. No matter how much of Yahshua is flowing through you, they won't. And they'll continue, even in a land of uprightness, deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of Yahweh. You know, if they take advantage, so be it, you know? But you, Yahweh will bring your example to them and say, that man, that woman, that person, they showed you what the Savior was like. You knew that's the way you should be. You were not willing to be that way. You were not willing to humble yourself. Now again, I'm not saying purposely walk into a situation where you know for a fact someone's going to hurt you, or if there's a way of escape from an abusive situation that you should not escape. Be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. I mean, for instance, every time you get within 10 feet of a person, they knock you right in the nose. There's nothing wrong with staying 15 feet away. It's not necessarily bitterness. It's just saying, well, I mean, just like Yahshua said, they persecute you in one city, flee to another. You persecute me within 10 feet of you, I'll go 15 feet away. So it's not bitterness and unforgiveness. It's wisdom and knowing the other person's going to be tempted to do something they shouldn't do. But if there is someone who wrongs us and it just happens, and we can meekly show them Yahshua's example and attitude. But let's not be like those who receive grace but then not learn to do it ourselves, and then not learn to show grace to others, and then not learn to walk in righteousness. You know, some people have this concern that, well, you know, Yahweh is so long-suffering and full of grace and mercy that you don't have to be even worried about whether you sin or not. Wrong. And if you're too concerned, well, you're a legalist. Wrong. We have to seek and walk in righteousness. We have to repent. The goodness of Yahweh results in our repentance. I mean, think about it. Doesn't a good father have mercy on his children who are desiring to do well but perhaps would fail? But the children who take advantage of mercy, who take advantage of the grace of the Father who's good to them and don't care, should be rightly punished and disciplined. Different attitudes. Let's be among those who remember the long-suffering of Yahweh. And it compels us to repentance, and it compels us to allow His light to shine through us. So then, my beloved brothers, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of Elohim. Remember that, fathers, mothers. Your wrath toward your children will not produce righteousness in them. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. I can think of two or three things that I have some older children who are older in their mid-20s. That I can think of two or three things that I allowed myself to choose anger. I thought, well, this is really important. I'm going to go ahead and correct them with anger. I'm going to justify it because it's so important. Maybe a little anger will help them realize how important it is to make sure that they're not doing these things. And they became adults, and those two or three things were things they were still doing, because the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of Elohim. I wonder what would have happened if I had chosen to sit down with them and reason with them and be gentle with them and say, I know you're struggling in this area. Can I pray for you? I wonder what would have happened. They may have overcame it. And even today, I sometimes wonder, do I have enough humility in my correction toward my daughters? I don't think I do. I don't. I'm ashamed to say that. I don't think I have enough. Do I come to them and say, you know, I got overcoming to do too. Your dad ain't perfect either. Here's something I'm seeing. I don't think I do that enough. I want to be a doer of the word, not hearers only, and deceive myself. I want to be not one that's just, you know, if someone's a hearer of the word, not a doer. He's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. This message is for me just as much as anybody, brothers and sisters. Let's be among the blessed. Let's walk like Yahshua walked. Let's willingly bear the wrongs of others. Let's walk out humility. There's no reason to be angry. Be swift to hear. Be slow to speak. Slow to wrath as we seek Yahweh, being hearers and doers as he reveals our imperfections. We've looked into the perfect law of liberty tonight. Or today. Let's not forget the man we saw in the mirror, or the woman we saw in the mirror. It was not Yahshua in that mirror, brethren. Then you need, and I need, to repent. For we not only need to seek his ways in regards to keeping Torah and the Sabbath and those things, but the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. Living as Yahshua did. Living a life that says, I'm willing to suffer for the wrongs that I am experiencing. I will bear that. Yahshua will bear that in me. For it's no longer I who live, Messiah who lives in me. And day may come, I'll have to lay down my whole life for him. And if I've endured the persecutions, rejections, and insults of men, have shared in the long-suffering of Yahweh with others, then the ultimate height of my suffering is reached when I lay down my own flesh, as Yahshua did, and commit myself completely to Yahweh. You know what? I'll already be in the habit. And it'll be a lot easier for me, because I'm used to bearing the marks of Messiah. Because I have this treasure in my earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of Elohim, not of us, but of Elohim, being hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Master Yahshua, that the life of Yahshua also may be manifested in our body. Actually, the next verse says, for we who live are always delivered to death for Yahshua's sake. Are you willing to be delivered to death for Yahshua's sake? Do you regard and reckon yourselves as dead already? You know, you can't offend a dead man. You ever see a dead man get angry? I haven't seen it yet. Let's bear the marks of Yahshua, especially those of us who bear his name, his character, his life, his love, his attributes. Are we willing to die now and die daily? That's my question today. Let's be that city on the hill that can't be hidden, and be his children, true children of our Father in heaven. Let's pray. O Heavenly Father Yahweh, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh be your great name. O Father, we desire that Yahshua in the kingdom life he lived will be manifested in us. Forgive us, Father Yahweh, where we have not been forgiving. We let it go. We set aside all bitterness and clamor and anger. We pray Yahshua would manifest himself through us. Where we are not able to bear it, he will bear it through us. I pray, Father, that you would strengthen each one of those within the sound of my voice, especially those who bear your name, to manifest your wonderful character and bear the fruits of your Spirit. For truly yours is the kingdom and power and glory and majesty. We want to bear your kingdom, your glory, your majesty. We choose to forgive those who've wronged us. And Father, we now ask you to forgive us in any areas we have failed to live up to this message today. And keep us from the enemy who seeks to steal, to kill, and to destroy. For we want Yahshua to be seen in this world today, Yahweh. Let him be seen in our every thought, our every word, and our every deed. In Yahshua's great name we pray these things. Glorify your name. Amen.